You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, Robert Land, along with my co-host, House of Houston's Brian Patterson, and welcome back to Locked On Texans, your best daily source of Texans news, views, and interviews. This show brought to you by Draft, and we'll talk about that in just a bit. Of course, we do this daily just because the season ends. Don't stop listening. Don't think we're going anywhere. We're going to keep this thing moving forward as we go into the offseason. This show is our grading the Texans show, where we look at Pro Football Focus's grades and give you our positions grades for yesterday's game. We might skip that, but we are going to talk about Pro Football Focus's grades because there's some fun numbers to look at. But before we get to all of that, as we usually do, we hit on any major news first. And Brian, the big news coming out with the Texans is Bill O'Brien was asked once again about his contract. What's the latest with that?
The latest is that, you know, the front office hasn't announced anything. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, one game left in the season, and you already know how this season's going to go. How come they don't get out front right now and tell us what they're going to do with Bill O'Brien? And, you know, he's having to go out to the media and defend himself. And here's the situation. Yeah, there's no contract extension. This guy should be extended. He should have been extended yesterday. He should have been extended last week, whatever. That's the whole deal there. And this guy, he loves coaching his team so much. He's gone out on a limb and said, I am willing to coach this team under the circumstances of 1 year left on my contract. That doesn't happen in the NFL, but we may actually see this. We may actually see this. And you know what? I think it's a way of him betting on himself that he is going to succeed. And I'm totally with him on that. There was no downside to him admitting that he would be willing to coach with 1 year left under his contract. Yeah, here's the quote, you know, I just want to kind of share with what he said. He was asked this, and he said, yeah, sure. Yeah, I'll coach this team. I mean, as long as they want me to coach this team, I'll coach the team. We have a good staff. We work very hard. It hasn't been a good year. We know that. We know the business. Like, we're not blind to what goes on in the NFL. Everybody understands it. It's a bottom line business, but we believe in what we do. And again, a lot of those decisions aren't made by me. So I just do the best job I can to work with the staff and the players to try to get a win on Sunday. You know what? This is just something that Rick Smith and Bob McNair, PR guy, whoever, they need to be out here talking. And it's like Bill is like the PR person and the head coach. He has to talk about the game, and then he has to defend the organization in his press conferences. And that is unfair to him, absolutely unfair. And this deal should have been done a long time ago. I propose a 2-year extension. I think that's very fair, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
Maybe, though, you say, well, why hasn't it been done yet? Maybe it's not going to get done. Maybe that we haven't heard anything from him because he's going to get canned. I mean, that could be a possibility, too. We know that.
Yeah, it's a strong possibility, and that's a signal saying, well, you know, I'm not leaving. You're going to have to fire me because I am not leaving here. And that's a good way to go about it, too, as well. But you know, for them to fire Bill O'Brien and thinking that they could get someone better, you know, this team has been molded in his image, and they should be listening to the quarterback, your franchise guy, the guy that got you so many games won, that got you all these points up on the board, that gives you hope for your fan base. And, you know, in that situation, you know, I don't know what they're thinking over there, but I think Bill O'Brien still is the right guy for this job. Now, if we have another 4-12 or whatever, we're going to end up 5-11, you know, season, you know, next season and the season after that, then that's fine. He's not, obviously, you know, the voice in the locker room is getting on, going on deaf ears. But as for what these guys are saying in the locker room, they're giving him complimentary notes. And I just want to specifically address Deshaun Watson and Jadeveon Clowney. They went out of their way to compliment Bill O'Brien. It wasn't like they were asked, what do you think about Bill O'Brien? Should he stay? Now, of course, the player is going to say, oh, I think he's a good coach because, you know, he wants to have a spot on this team. But he was, both of these guys were asked about something else, and then they volunteered that information. And then Deshaun Watson doubles back in a separate interview, or he goes on the Twitter as well and says, this is my coach. This is who I want coaching me. We have a good relationship. And, you know, you would think that they would listen to that, but obviously they feel the players don't know what's good for them.
How about this, though? You're saying what's going to happen as far as Bill O'Brien, and you said, I hear you saying there, you can't find anybody better than Bill O'Brien. You really believe that? You really don't think we can find anybody better than O'Brien?
Not for these guys. You're going to have to bring in somebody else. These are his players that he brought in. You think another coach is going to be able to manage these personalities like Bill has? These guys that they brought in,
really?
Are guys.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. These guys right here are hardworking guys in his image that he wants to bring in, because I know he has a lot of decision making with that, because these are players that he certainly wants to bring in. Now, Brock Osweiler, that's debatable. You know, he probably didn't have much say in that. He was just brought in and said, hey, I got your quarterback, work with him and whatnot. But I certainly do feel with the players out there, there are guys out there. I mean, is there a Sean McVay out there? Is there, you know, some kind of wizard like Chip Kelly out there that we need that's great on offense? I do feel that right now, at this moment, there's not a better guy for this job than Bill O'Brien.
I don't know if I'm with you on everything that you said. I'm with you on keeping O'Brien. Here's where I think we're differing. First of all, I don't think you're saying that these guys are all his guys. I mean, what you hear more and more is that Rick Smith has had big-time control, and where there's been that split between the two of them, again, these are rumors, which you get a lot of rumors with the Texans. You get a lot of rumors, but there's the split supposedly is about that Rick Smith has got too much control over the roster and what's going on. And you hear more and more that Rick Smith has had big time control over who they drafted. Apparently Deshaun Watson was definitely a guy that he was all in on. A lot of this stuff, there's going to be, I got an opinion, you got an opinion, we got an opinion and all this kind of stuff. But I get the feeling that a lot of this is Rick Smith's guy. So I don't know if I'm all in on what you say there. I think Rick Smith has had a lot of control about who we're seeing. I mean, according to you, you disagree with all the fans that want to blame Rick Smith for everything, because you're saying Bill O'Brien, these are his guys. I'm more with the fans. I think most of these players that you see on the roster are Rick Smith's players. And I think when you see somebody like, oh, let's say Jalen Strong, you know, get cut, or you see Lewis Nix get cut, you see some of these guys that Rick Smith drafted get cut after a few months, a year, 2 years. DJ Swearinger, you can go back to him if you want to. I think the reason why they're getting let go or not, because I don't think Rick Smith had as much of a problem with them as Bill O'Brien did. And I think Rick Smith probably would have given these guys a little bit more leeway than O'Brien did. I'm not with you on that part at all.
And I didn't necessarily say all the guys are molded to his name, but some of these guys he inherited. But yet, and Rick Smith is going to make the final call to begin with. Bill O'Brien is going to have his suggestions of who we should draft and whatnot, but ultimately that's up to Rick Smith. I think, you know, a perfect situation would be if you're going to clean house, then you let both of them go and then you start fresh with the guys that are left over, and then you work from there. But we all know that that's not going to happen. But to say that, I think that they just put too much undue pressure on Bill O'Brien. He has to do way too much. And I'm standing up and I'm saying I'm having the courage of my convictions, because they seem to not want to do that. They don't want to talk to the media. And you know why? Because the Texans are making incredible amounts of money. The bottom line is not affected. And why should they have to talk to the media if they don't have to?
Well, one of the things you say, they're putting a lot of stuff on Bill O'Brien's plate. He put it in his own plate being offensive coordinator. I mean, first of all, he screwed up by giving it to Godsey to start with. I know that had to be his decision. I doubt Rick Smith made him hire George Godsey, and that was a big, huge mistake on Bill O'Brien's part. that he sat through for 2 or 3 years. The guy's made some pretty noticeable mistakes too. We talk about the stuff with clock management and game management type of stuff, timeouts, using, you know, red flags and all the little stuff, the play calls late in games, the stuff that drive us crazy. But Gotsy was a huge deal. I mean, that's somebody that was a Bill O'Brien guy. And now, because of that Gotsy deal, and because Bill O'Brien has decided, well, I need to do it myself, he's put that in his own plate. I mean, that's, you know, I don't know about you, but that's something that he's made his job that much more difficult. You know, to me, the best head coaches typically are very good at hiring the right people. And he did a nice job with hiring Romeo Crennel. The Vrabel thing, I don't know if that was a group decision or if that was a Bill O'Brien decision when they go to Vrabel. That's under review. We don't know without being in the room there. But obviously the Gotsy thing was a big mistake. And what's happened with the special teams coordinators and the special teams over the first few years, there's been some bad coaching there, and that's on OB. I mean, so he's made some bad decisions with offensive coordinator and with special teams. So I don't give him this blanket pass. I know he's done a good job getting 9 wins out of teams with quarterbacks that are kind of junky. And I assume Rick Smith had a lot to do with the fact that he's got junky quarterbacks to choose from. But I don't know if I'm giving him a pass on George Gotsy or the special teams coordinators over the last few years. That's a whole other story.
It's a point that you've brought up that, you know, it's quite understandable. But yeah, Bill O'Brien deserves an extension. 2 years. Let's see how it goes. If it doesn't work out, he can walk. And you have to go to this particular perspective. If they did fire him, would he get calls? Absolutely. His cell phone would be blowing up. There's going to be several jobs open in just a little bit here after this week, Black Monday. And if he is fired, Bill O'Brien will have a job within days of being fired from the Houston Texans. You can mark my words. I can guarantee it 100%.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know if that's going to be a good job. And that doesn't mean necessarily other owners know what they're doing. We know owners don't exactly have great track records at times at hiring the right coaches. But, you know, we'll wait and see. Hey, Brian, before we move on, we want to get to the grades, and I'm going to backtrack to a little bit more news later in the show, but we got to talk about fantasy because this is the last week of the NFL season, but you can still play, right?
You can still play, and there's still a lot of stuff going on with draft. I know the football season is over, but you can bet on basketball. Basketball season is underway now. Of course, baseball is out of season, but that's a good thing about draft. Year-round, there's always something that you can get involved with. It's fun and easy. There's no salary cap. It's just a pure snake draft. It's fast and fun. And the main thing you need to remember is use the promo code LONFL. So fantasy football fans, listen up. It's not too late to join the 500,000 people that have already downloaded Draft this season. You get to play in a real live snake draft, but you're done in under 5 minutes and they last for just 1 week. You could join one right now for week 17, the last week. The best part, play for cold hard cash. And get this, your chances of winning are 80% better than on the salary cap sites. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use the promo code LONFL. That's right. Play a real money game for free just by using the promo code LONFL. And it gets even better. The draft is so sure that you'll love it that they're even offering listeners a money-back guarantee up to $100. 100 smackaroos. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with promo code LONFL.
Time to look at the Pro Football Focus grades. And Brian, this is what I want to start off with because Coach O'Brien talked about in his Monday press conference, he said, I thought the young guys, talking about the offensive line, let's start with that. He said, I thought the young guys played pretty well. I think Julione held his own. Julione Davenport held his own in there against some good competition. I thought that Kyle Fuller did some good things. I thought Quisenberry did some good things, having not played in a real game. I mean, that's a long time ago that he played in a, you know, that he's been, you know, trying to recover, was what OB was saying. But he said, I thought Quisenberry did some really good things. So the question goes to you, looking at Pro Football Focus grades, Quesenberry, Davenport, Chad Slade, Kyle Fuller, how did they look in the grading? I mean, was there stuff to be excited about come the future with these guys? Can these guys help out an offensive line that hasn't been good all year, maybe next year?
Well, let's start with Xavier Suofilo, who was the second highest offensive rated player. Surprisingly, that was behind DeAndre Hopkins, who scored an 86.2. Xavier Suofilo, nothing much got past him for this game. And to be honest, the pass rush was pretty brutal on TJ. TJ couldn't get anything off. And, of course, you know, he had the concussion. You know, they were – but at least for his side, you know, he a lot did not get through. But there are a lot of problems with Xavier Suofilo. Right now, he is allowed, you know, so far through week 16, he has allowed 8 sacks. That's first in the league out of 60 eligible. This is for Pro Football Focus. Out of 60 eligible offensive linemen, out of offensive guards, he is ranked right at the bottom in terms of sacks allowed. He's allowed 9 hits. That's third. 26 hurries. That's sixth. He has a pass blocking efficiency grade of a 93.9, which that is good for 60th on the list as well. He's right there at the bottom. And guys that do have really good grades, 98.3, Zach Martin's number one, and Brandon Brooks is not too far behind him as well at number two. So out of all of this, that's 43 total pressures. That's going to be also first in league. No one's allowed more pressures as an offensive guard out of the guys that are eligible to get this rating than Xavier Suofilo. There's a lot of work to be done with Xavier Suofilo, but it's good that he got that grade for that game. But all in all, is he the left guard of the future? That is still up for debate. Whether he will be on this team next season, I would absolutely say yes.
What about the young guys? What do they look like?
The young guys, Julian Davenport, how he performed overall in the season, although Pro Football Focus didn't make much of a mention with him, he has elevated up to a 44.3 on the season. I believe it was a lot lower than that in the 30s. So obviously, if you have a huge jump, then you obviously have scored somewhere in the 70s. So he earns a passing grade with all what he did. And with Julian Davenport, 44.3 right now on the season. He has taken 183 snaps total on the season. And, you know, most of them are going to be from this week. He took 55 snaps. That's pretty much all the snaps that the offense had. So in terms of improvement, I would have to say yes. Other guys that have performed, David Kessenberry, he had a 49.5. He has a 49.5 on the season. That's his grade. He took 9 snaps out there on the offensive line. And like you said, you know, he had, you know, a key play that he made yesterday that I didn't miss, and my bad on that. But out of all the guys that are having positive grades right now, Chad Slade is at a 73.3, took 55 snaps, which is actually the amount of snaps that the offense made. So you may have something in Chad Slade. He may be worth keeping around because he has turned in, you know, a solid grade. I would say more of like a passing grade, but that's better than the rest of the offense, offensive line right now, because his numbers are standing out true among all the other guys right now at this time. Kyle Fuller's up to a 50.9. That's still a lot better than some of the other guys out there. Of course, less snaps, less time out there, but effective whenever he is out there.
The big thing with Davenport, and we talked about this a little bit in the post game, but it's worth repeating. He just wasn't good at calling out the blitzes. They ran that corner blitz a couple of times, and he didn't recognize it. That's something that, you know, if you're a young left tackle, that's one of the more difficult things I would assume to learn and to figure out at this point in your career. So Davenport, you know, he's got some work there. Bill O'Brien mentioned that. So the offensive line, there was a little bit of stuff that you go, okay, they did some things. We talked about in the post game show how well they did against the run. What about anything else that stuck out with you defensively? Carlos Watkins, Brian, I believe, got the most snaps that he's had as a Texan. I don't know if he showed up well. I know at halftime, I believe I saw that his numbers were pretty darn good at halftime for Watkins. But what about on defense? Was there anything from those guys, and what was, I thought, a pretty bad defensive effort for the most part? Zach Cunningham being, I think, the biggest exception for me as I was watching those guys.
He was the highest graded defensive the guy on the defensive line for Sunday. He had plenty of time to flourish, and he made 7 tackles, resulting in a defensive stop. And he finished the day with the highest grade of any Texas defender on coverage. This guy is going to be finishing the season right around here. So far, he has 269 run snaps. Out of that, 29 were tackles, 11 assisted, only two missed tackles, and 26 run stops. He is ranked 13th among eligible linebackers, and that's pretty darn good considering that, because he has a run stop percentage of a 9.7. It basically culls all of this data and comes up with a percentage as far as how effective he is on stopping the run.
13th among middle linebackers in the entire NFL, you're saying?
This is ranked with all of the linebackers that are eligible, so how effective they are in stopping the run. So he is grouped with, for example, Anthony Hitchens, Bobby Wagner, Luke Kuechly, Telvin Smith, and Monte Teo. So, I know those guys are moved around quite a bit. So not necessarily middle linebackers. It doesn't necessarily this stat group it that way. But the fact that his name is associated with those 5 guys, notables, it shows that as a rookie, he is making strides.
That's pretty good. That's some good company to be in. Just a quick reminder before we move on, if you're a new listener, pass the word along to a friend or two. Let them know they can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. And this would probably be a really good time, Brian, to remind everybody how you can get a free Pro Football Focus subscription just by listening to us.
Jump on the iTunes and tell us what we're doing with the show and what we need to improve and what you like about it. You know, because we read the comments. Your comments will be read aloud on the air. We're looking forward to seeing those great comments that you have, and have a way for us to contact you with your Twitter, your Instagram, your email address. Let us know any way that we can contact you, because what you're going to win is a Pro Football Focus Edge package. Pretty much what we've been talking about today, you're going to have it at your fingertips. You can get on it with your desktop. You can get on with your tablet or your mobile phone and be able to get the stats you need to have the advantage to win whatever you're trying to, or crush whatever competition that you're trying to take advantage of. So that's what it's all about. It's a $40 package. And just go on and leave that review. You can be well on your way to earning that Pro Football Focus Edge package.
Couple last things I want to get to. And last week I talked about all the concussions that the Texans have had, and I wanted to do a little more research on that. Here's what I found through one website, and this is a news site, so I'm assuming that these numbers are right. The Texans are the most concussed team in the NFL with 16 concussions between 14 players. So it is not our imagination that there have been a lot of concussions with the Texans. Here's a list of the Texans who suffered a concussion this season. I went through a few of these guys last week. Kevin Johnson, Tyler Heinicke is new to that list. Jeff Allen, Kendall Lamb, Braxton Miller, Jelani Jenkins, Tom Savage, Alfred Blue, Corey Moore, Bruce Ellington, Steven Anderson, Ryan Griffin twice, C.J. Fedorowicz twice. I think if you include the preseason, it's 3 times. And Brian Cushing. So just, we've seen ever like this. Brian, I know that, you know, with the new concussion rules, we're seeing more guys going to concussion protocol. But there's no doubt the Texans, this team has been concussed more than any team in the NFL. And when I looked at that list, it didn't look like there was anybody that was a super close second either. It's pretty remarkable.
What I've noticed is that, You know, concussions do happen. You know, you're going to get your bell rung. And over the past few seasons, you know, it'll happen from time to time. You know, a lot of times it's just, you know, it was just a stinger, or, you know, they're able to get back up. But, you know, these are really true, you know, bona fide concussions. And also it speaks to the fact that we're under a microscope, because with all of the press that concussions are getting, the bad press, that is, but Texans are under a microscope on how the team is handling it. We saw that with Tom Savage. So it's indeed a test for them. And, you know, some of the rules have changed because of this. So that's on a positive note, you know, especially for the protection of the players. But all in all, I think that, of course, things could have been handled better, but it's not necessarily the entire organization's fault. It may have been just, you know, guys that just wasn't sure who was the person to make the call, or the person to say, hey, we need to get this guy off the field.
Right. I mean, I'm not sitting here blaming anybody. I'm just saying, frankly, it's poor luck. The injuries were poor luck. The concussions are poor luck. They've had a lot of this go on. I have a hard time believing that this is, boy, the Texans don't know how to take care of their athletes or whatever. I think it is interesting that it happens the first season after they have their training camp up in West Virginia, and you know they moved the whole training camp, so things were a little bit different than they have been in the past. But you know, just something that's worth noting. And let's hope, maybe as bad as it was this season, maybe that pertains to next year, that it's going to be just the opposite, and maybe they'll be as healthy as they've been. And healthy teams typically, they win championships. You know, the teams that have much better health, you know, that's, they do, they get to the playoffs and they win championships. That's just the way it goes in every sport. One more interesting note that I saw, Brian, Texans rookie defensive end Carlos Watkins said he spent $14,000 for the annual defensive line dinner. He said, quote, you know, we defensive linemen like to eat. I don't know if that's him. I guess that's him footing the bill for the entire defensive line unit. I'm always amazed that these guys can drop like $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 on a meal. I mean, it's like, that's my probably meal budget for the year, and these guys can do it in one meal. I assume it's got to be just a load of alcohol and very expensive champagne or something like that. I don't know how else you run up a bill that big. You got any ideas for that? How does that happen?
I wish that rule would just go away, especially for the rookies who aren't making that much money. You know, looking at Carlos Watkins' contract, it's a rookie deal. It's for 4 years for $2.8 million. So that puts him right at this season. He's going to make $465K. When you could factor in the taxes that you're going to have to pay for that, which is likely going to be close to half of what he's going to be bringing in, not to mention any bonuses or whatever he gets, if that's all embedded in the contract. $14,000 is a lot of money, and it's just not good business sense, not good money management, not to spend that kind of money on a dinner for your teammates. You know, hey, you know, maybe it should be working a way to where a group of rookies cover the meal. You know, it shouldn't be just one guy that covers it. I know this is like, I don't want to say hazing, because you know that's not something that's quite legal, you know, in the pro levels, but it kind of is. But I just wish there was another way, because this is their guy's livelihood. A lot of these guys, they've never seen this amount of money in their life, and it's just it would be a tragedy for them to, you know, start going out and spending money like it's water, and whenever, you know, you need to manage it the most you can.
Remember what happened to KJ Dillon? They had that huge bill, and KJ Dillon's already out of the league. He was like a 6th-round pick or something. Do you remember that story from last year?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah. And I mean, that's, to me, yeah, no, I think I would call that hazing if that's happening, because you know, it's really not fair. And you know, for these guys, NFL players, I mean, maybe they don't get it. Maybe it's still not understood. But, you know, this money is these jobs end in a hurry. It might sound like they're making a lot of money, but you mentioned there's all this kind of stuff comes out of your contract, taxes, and you're paying agents, and you need this and that. And then these guys might only be around in the league 3 or 4 years, and you're not – maybe trained to do a ton of other stuff. And so now you might have to go back to school or something like that. You got to think that this is what I might need for the next 20 or 30 or 40 years, you know, or something like that. I mean, that's the way I would look at it. If I was these guys, I mean, you just can't spend it like it's going out of style. The last thing I wanted to talk about real briefly is no position grades this week. Cause I, you know, Brian, I don't know about you, but I feel like we'd be depressing our listeners by going over these grades at this point in the season. Ugh.
Yeah, it's, you know, F and F and F and, you know, and then when you get to DeAndre Hopkins, he gets his own section. You know, you can go in and give him an A. You can give him an A-plus for that catch that he made, which, by the way, is the catch of the year. My God, I want to see it again. It was so terrific.
If you want to see it again, just look on my Locked On Texans Twitter. I've got the catch up there, a nice angle, and you get the – I think there's a little bit of a slow-mo to it or whatever, but yeah, everybody can find it. It was everywhere. It was the number one play on SportsCenter, I believe, on Christmas. So good place to get it. Brian, if you want to follow Brian, it's at House of Houston. Go to houseofhouston.com to keep up with what's going on with the Astros and the Rockets. Lots of stuff happening with the Rockets. They're struggling a little bit right now, but they're dealing with some injuries and I think that's hurting defense and number of minutes they've got to put up, you know, put guys with is a killer. But follow the Astros and the Texans and all the teams on houseofhouston.com. And we will talk to you again soon. Don't forget, LockedOnTexans.com is our new website. It's LockedOnTexans@mail.com if you want to contact us. Until we talk again, have a great one, everybody.
You are Locked On Texans. Your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.